This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Craig Pfeiffer is the e-government manager for the city of Alexandria, Virginia. He's been there since 2003, and prior to that, he was served for 7 years as the founding webmaster and electronic communications coordinator for the city of Roanoke. He serves as the secretary of the Virginia Coalition for Open Government, and he has been appointed by the governors of Virginia to the Virginia Freedom of Information Advisory Council since 2004. He is also a graduate of the Sorensen Institute for Political Leadership at the University of Virginia. Craig joins me on the long line. How are you, sir?
Hi, thanks for having me, Corey.
Absolutely. Been looking forward to talking to you. So I got to ask you before we start, so folks know, the e-government manager, we've heard of the government manager for a city, but you're the e-government manager. So all the web, anything to do with a website or computers, that's your job, right?
Well, specifically the parts of it that are public-facing that make it easier for the public to do business with government. So my team is responsible for our websites and our online payment systems and that sort of thing.
And that's every city, that's been growing in every city as folks do more online. More and more falls to your office, I would imagine.
That's right. I think not only is this something that governments are finding as a way to increase efficiency and to help get our message out, but it's also something that customers are coming to expect and really demand because they deal with other large organizations, their bank, their utility companies, online shopping, and the world of commerce, the private sector, takes advantage of technology, and so increasingly people are expecting their government to do the same.
Right. They don't necessarily want to have to go down to City Hall to pay a bill.
That's right.
So, Craig, we want to talk about open government in Virginia. It's clearly an issue that's important to you. It's very important to me. I've spoken about it many times on this program. Let's begin with just talking about the Virginia Coalition for Open Government. We want people to know what this organization is, the good work that it does. What is the website first? Because it's a very big website. There's a whole lot there. And what do y'all do?
Well, the website is opengovva.org, and the coalition has existed now for quite a number of years. We're basically a nonprofit alliance comprised of people who care about transparency and access to government records and government meetings. And although I think the genesis of this group came from the media, the newspaper, radio, television, operations. Our membership also includes government officials, includes private citizens, includes business representatives. So it's really a broad group of people who all have one interest in common, which is seeing that the people have access to what their government is doing.
And of course, Frosty Landon, who's been in the media for a long time. Tell folks who he is and what he's had to do with the...
Right. Well, Frosty was the, I believe, the managing editor of the Roanoke Times, and when he retired from that job, he decided to take on the creation of the coalition as his retirement project. And I think the people of Virginia owe him a great debt of gratitude for all the volunteer work that he did to create the coalition, and then even after he became its executive director, the many, many hours that he put in to what was really a labor of love. Frosty now serves with me on the Virginia Freedom of Information Advisory Council, and so we still work closely together, but he was one of the certainly one of the leaders, if not the leader, in open government in Virginia over the last couple of decades.
Absolutely. There's definitely there should be a plaque or a statue somewhere in Virginia's future for this man. Right now, there's a fish in my office named for him, but I'm a big fan of Frosty's, an amazing guy. So what do we mean when we say open government? What do we mean, really?
Well, it's a pretty simple idea, but you'd be surprised how much controversy it can cause sometimes. The idea is really just that the public has a right to know what its government is doing and has a right to see the records that its government holds and to attend the meetings that its government holds. And it's really nothing more than that. It has all kinds of different manifestations in different areas of government. The Freedom of Information Act focuses on records and meetings, and open records and open meetings. There are some offshoots having to do with budgeting and transparency in accounting and budgeting. There are national standards and state standards that help make that process more transparent. campaign finance reporting is also another subset of open government, and Virginia has a very, very open campaign finance reporting system as well. So there are a number of special areas of open government, but for the most part, we're talking about being able to get your hands on records and being able to attend and to know about meetings that the government is holding.
Well, we're talking with Craig Pfeiffer of the Virginia Coalition for Open Government, and it's online at opengovva.org. It's sort of an obvious answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway because I want you to really clarify it. Why is this important? Why should we care about open government here in America and in Virginia specifically?
Well, I think that there are several answers to that, but the biggest is probably accountability. The idea that when government is functioning in a transparent manner, it allows everybody to see what's going on, to draw their own conclusions about whether the government is doing the right thing, and to hold government accountable, not just through the electoral process, but also by contacting the government or by petitioning the government to do things differently. There is also the idea that everything that the government does should be for the benefit of its citizens. And there is a wealth of information out there that government owns, that it creates, that it receives, that it publishes. And taxpayers are already paying for this information, so they ought to be able to get it and to use it for other purposes, whether just out of their own curiosity or for a personal initiative or for a business venture. This is information that really belongs to the people. So open government's important for accountability, but also because the people own all of this information and have a right to see it.
Yeah, amen. And I always think of the words of Thomas Jefferson, of course, when he says, free government is founded not in confidence, but in jealousy. So you're not supposed to just sit back and feel confident that your government and your folks you elect are just going to take care of you. But in fact, it's the opposite. You're supposed to be very concerned and jealous of the power that they have over your life and keep an eye on them.
Right. And I think from the opposite point of view, or from the opposite perspective, because I also work for local government, it is sometimes easy to think that it would be a lot easier for us to do our jobs if we didn't have so many people meddling in what we're doing. And we know what's best. We're all experts, or we were elected, and so clearly we know what we're doing. And if we could just be left alone to do it, then, you know, it'll all be for your own good. And so a lot of times public officials fall into the trap of feeling like being in a closed environment or even a secret environment is more efficient or would be more productive, or that we just know what we're doing. But I think you can certainly argue that letting the public see what you're doing all along, letting them have input, letting them react, creates a much greater sense of buy-in, a greater sense of ownership. People feel more engaged, and that means ultimately government will be more successful because it doesn't have to sell the result of that work, but it's something that people could see evolving all along.
My guest is Craig Pfeiffer. He's the e-government manager for the city of Alexandria, Virginia, and secretary of the Virginia Coalition for Open Government, online at opengovva.org. So here's the million-dollar, billion-dollar question, Craig. How do we stack up? How does Virginia stack up when we compare ourselves to all the other states? Where are we on that scale from, you know, very closed and dark to very open and lots of sunshine in government?
Well, I'm really proud to say that Virginia actually ranks very well out of the 50 states. Usually when there are studies done of our access laws in Virginia, or the level of access that people have, we usually rank in about the top five or top 10. And sometimes we're even leading the way in some things. Of course, it depends on how you do these studies, and it's difficult to compare apples to apples in every state. But most of these studies focus on things like the length of time the government has to respond to records requests, or the enforcement power that a judge would have if somebody sued the state, or the scope of information that's covered by the law, the need for the government to retain records, to preserve them for safekeeping. And Virginia does very well in all of those regards. We also do particularly well on campaign finance reporting because we basically make everything open, and that's in large part because there are virtually no restrictions on funds that can be contributed or received in Virginia's political campaigns. So we have very open reporting to sort of counter that.
Well, along the same lines, give us some more examples of, you know, the best and the worst when it comes to open government, you think?
Oh, well, there are things that individual public employees can do to either further open government or to stand in the way of open government. And sometimes you can have the best laws in the country, but it still comes down to whether somebody's going to do the right thing in spirit. A very simple example would be that under the Virginia Freedom of Information Act, public bodies generally have 5 working days to respond to a request for records. Well, you can wait all 5 days on purpose, or you can just hand over the records as soon as you're asked for them.
Right.
So that would be one very simple example. But there are other examples of things that people have done over time that the law has had to kind of adjust itself to keep up with, like the fact that people used to try to ask you all kinds of questions about why you want a particular record, make you submit the requests in writing. They would give requests on paper in a manner that wasn't very useful because it was a long report. And so now the law is doing a better job of trying to keep up with that and say, well, you know, you can't ask why a request is being made, and the documents have to be made available electronically if they exist in that format and that sort of thing.
Right. We're talking with Craig Pfeiffer of the Virginia Coalition for Open Government. He also serves on the Virginia Freedom of Information Advisory Council to the governor. And Richard is online, too. Richard, thanks for holding. You're on with Craig Pfeiffer. You go right ahead.
Craig, first I want to thank you for your service. I very much appreciate the open government and the policing of it. I would like to know what kind of teeth this law has. Is this a law that has enough teeth so that people don't just disregard it routinely?
Sure. Thank you very much for the question. I would say first that this law requires that all public officials be made aware of it in the first place, which is sort of unusual. We have a lot of laws, and we say that ignorance is no excuse, but the Virginia Freedom of Information Act affirmatively requires people to be aware of it. So hopefully that will help somewhat in the first place. But then if a violation does occur, and it can't be worked out between the requester and the public body, the requester has the right to file what is essentially a lawsuit, to file a petition in the local court, and that petition has to be heard on an expedited basis, so the court needs to give it priority, and then the judge can order that the public body give the record that was requested if that's what's appropriate. And if the judge finds that a member of a public body willfully and knowingly violated the law, then the member can be fined. And that isn't something that happens very often, but it is something that members of public bodies should be aware of that can happen. But I also want to point out that one of the major reasons why the Freedom of Information Advisory Council was created about 10 years ago was to help provide an alternative forum to resolve some of these disputes, to try to avoid litigation. Because even though litigation is certainly sometimes a very helpful method of resolving problems, it's usually not the highest quality method, because it usually results in somebody feeling like they won and somebody feeling like they lost. The FOIA Council can hear these sorts of issues over time, can deliberate on them, and can make recommendations to the General Assembly and to the governor about changes in the law that would clarify situations. We can also issue advisory opinions about specific situations to try to essentially mediate a dispute and avoid litigation.
Craig, I appreciate that. In the case of open government, that includes a meeting that was not announced, or a series of meetings that was not announced because it was held within other public bodies' meetings. In other words, a public body was created, and that public body had multiple, you know, many members of another public body within it, but was never disclosed. So that once you find out about it, what do you do to rectify the fact that it was kind of a stacked deck?
Yeah, well, Craig, where do people go? That's a great question, Richard. I mean, where do you go if you feel like your government, whether it's the local government, the city, or the Board of Supervisors, or, you know, whatever, where do you go? Who do you call when you think, hey, they're not really open, or that meeting, they didn't tell me about that meeting, or here's this, like, you know, what Richard's talking about, this, they got a bunch of meetings and I never knew about it.
Right, and that's a tricky situation, and we've had some recent advisory opinions on that subject where you have sort of overlapping public bodies that have a few members from each body or have subcommittees, and very frequently, though, they do still have to be announced, and they have to be given the same notice that a traditional meeting would be. If you find a violation has occurred, I would suggest the first thing you do is go to the public body that you think is violating the law, because oftentimes, as much as we hope that everybody understands FOIA, not everybody does. And sometimes you can clarify that a particular meeting should have been noticed when the public body didn't realize that it needed to be. Failing that, the FOIA Council does exist, again, as a forum to try to resolve some of these disputes. If there's any question about whether the law applies to a situation, the FOIA Council can help answer that question potentially. And then, sometimes depending on the situation, bringing additional attention to what's going on with other interested groups, neighborhood associations, members of the press can sometimes kind of put some positive pressure on a public body to do the right thing. And then ultimately, if you've been aggrieved, you do have the right to file a petition in court.
Richard, thank you for the call. Great question. Craig Pfeiffer is the e-government manager for the City of Alexandria, and he's with the Virginia Coalition for Open Government. You can learn more online at opengovva.org. Craig, thank you so much, my friend. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.